Well, I can't talk to fish. Even if I could, I mean, honestly, what could we do with that that's cool?
I don't know, maybe command an army of billions in the ocean?
Well, not for long.
No. Hi, so I'm Danielle, or Danny.
And I'm Aoife, and this is a new project we're trying called Aficionados?
Movie Aficionados.
Movie Aficionados. What gave you the idea for this?
Basically, because I'm a zoologist, and I really like fish. So what often happens when I watch movies is that I get distracted by fish that are in the background. And then I annoy the people I watch the movies with by either saying, that fish should not be living like that, or did you know that this fish is really cool because of XYZ? And people generally go, Danny, can you shut the fuck up? But Aoife was like, I think this would be a cool podcast idea.
See, you've ruined my street cred, because I was going to be like, so we decided to take all that annoyance and just filter it onto me, but you've already outed me as a nerd who actually thinks fish are cool.
Sorry. I think it was bringing our beloved baby fish, classified and redacted, into our home, which really converted Aoife.
Our fish are beautiful little babies. They're both goldfish. I don't know what their colorations are officially called, because I just call them Golden Boy and Raspberry Ripple Chocolate Chip Bastard. Do you know what they're actually?
Well, Raspberry Ripple Chocolate Chip Bastard is a shabunkin, so kind of bluish-gray coloration with red and black. Okay. And then classified as Golden Boy is a golden boy.
He's a golden goldfish. Mm-hmm. It's actually not true to say that they are the ones who first sparked off my love of fish, because when I was a very small child, age 7, I actually won a silver medal for a poem I wrote about a dead goldfish.
Inspiring.
At a local town festival, which is just as like hick, rural, culty, backwater as it sounds. I got up on stage and I serenaded many people with a poem about a dead fish, and people were like, let's reward this goth child for their weird behavior.
That is very good. I, for one, have been keeping fish since I was 8. And then my dad, I guess, encouraged it beforehand, because we used to watch nature documentaries. And apparently I used to wander around aquariums that we went to on holidays, like, naming things while other people went, that's a weird skill for a 4-year-old child. But yeah, I love fish very much. And we were both into science communication, and we were both science editors of 2 different papers in UCD.
Take note, everyone. The Tribune and The Observer can get along.
I think fish bring people together, in this case, 2 rival publications.
Indeed. So I am interested in fish, but I have never watched a movie in my life. So...
Can confirm.
Yeah. So you will have to do a lot of explaining.
Yeah.
So
we supposedly watched The Lord of the Rings last night, but I know I was watching.
I just blacked out. I don't know. There were some sounds. It was very confusing.
Yeah.
I was mostly mending socks. Oh. So what movie are we talking about today?
Well, I thought while we try this out for our pilot episodes that we're going to pick a movie that has a very short scene featuring a fish,
mm-hmm.
but still cause me, you know, some emotional distress for reasons we'll talk about later. So this is Shazam, released in 2019. It is a very beloved film by me. I love it a lot. I'll talk about it later. But this is one of the after credit scenes where 2 of the characters interact with a goldfish.
Okay.
So we are going to watch this scene now.
Cool. Already I'm seeing yellowish water.
I mean, that could also be the backlight from the costume.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because there's not a lot of fish in the sea.
You know, shelter. Good
no.
pun, though.
Of course not.
So my first reaction is he was holding that fish tank and shaking it around a bit, which I don't think is good. Like, from a very, very uninformed standpoint, I don't think that's good.
I mean, it's obviously not great. We all saw Finding Nemo. Well, I did. I'm not sure did Aoife.
I've never seen a single movie in my life. Even this has been confusing and strange for me. But like, if that was a hamster in a tank, you wouldn't just hold it up and kind of shake it.
I mean, I feel he's shaking it just through virtue of it's impossible to hold something perfectly still.
Okay.
I mean, fish can be transported, you know, up to thousands of kilometers if they're packaged properly. Mm-hmm. So I think this isn't really the issue. Also, the fish in question is a goldfish. So we thought, you know, goldfish are very common. Mm-hmm. So it'd be a good species to start this project off with.
I do see it's kind of a very typical goldfish setup. I would say actually it's smaller than most goldfish tanks, because the fish that I wrote the poem about that died, we kept in a fish bowl that was bigger than what he's holding, but also it was round, so mm-hmm. it would have had a larger volume, whereas what he's holding is kind of a flattened circle, like a double glazed glass kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's quite thin. There's not much water here.
And we can see that, you know, the character in question is played by Zachary Levi. This goldfish tank is probably not that much bigger than his hands, if we can, this is a small bowl.
Yeah. And like, I again don't know super much about fish, but I know enough to feel guilty that we kept a goldfish in the tank as small mm-hmm. as we had. So I'd say this guy's not doing happy.
No. And so goldfish bowls are being phased out mm-hmm. worldwide, or they should be anyway. Mm-hmm. And the main issue you can see, and it's actually a very good example in this screenshot, is that, you know, there's quite a large volume of water, but the surface area is quite small.
Okay.
Yeah. So this means that not a lot of air can actually, and oxygen can diffuse through mm-hmm. the surface to oxygenate that volume of water adequately. And that's just based on the shape of most goldfish bowls.
Yeah.
This bowl does not have a filter. Mm-hmm. It does not have any source of extra aeration. It's very important to keep any fish that you have with a filter. Goldfish are quite messy. They produce a lot of waste. And so
they be pooping.
They do. Everyone poops. Including goldfish. And without a filter to break down that waste, and without the, you know, the proper surface area to volume ratio, this fish is pretty much swimming in its own filth, yeah.
If it had a filter, would that be an adequate sized tank?
No.
Because I was going to say, like, even if you weren't swimming in a pool of your own diluted pee, it doesn't look big enough. It's small.
No. Goldfish actually get quite big, mm-hmm. Which I don't think people realize. I definitely didn't realize until I kind of looked into it a lot more. But like, this looks like a fancy goldfish, so they tend to get a little bit smaller, mm-hmm. but still up to 15 centimeters when fully grown.
Because goldfish are just koi by another name.
No. So goldfish, both goldfish and koi are carp.
Okay.
But koi and goldfish are not the same species.
Okay.
So goldfish actually were first domesticated about 1,000 to 2,000 years ago in China. So they were selectively bred from a species called the Prussian carp, which is this kind of, it's just a kind of plain, kind of greenish gray color. And then over time, you know, it's kind of like when we domesticated dogs and other species. So different colors would pop up and people then started selectively breeding them. So in China, it was, they were originally kept in decorative ponds. The best specimens were kind of preserved for members of the royal family. Mm-hmm. You can often see in a lot of fancy varieties, like the Celestial, which has eyes that, like, is big bubbly mm-hmm. sacs under its eyes, and its eyes kind of permanently look up. And they reckon that it was bred that, you know, to look up in adoration of the emperors that owned it.
Man, ego so fragile.
Yeah. they've been around for a very long time. And then they kind of, so they've been in China, obviously, that's where they originated for years. Also, the species name is Carassius auratus.
What does that mean, or do we know?
So I think auratus is gold. I'm not actually 100% sure on the genus name, but all goldfish that you see are all the same species. So they've just been selectively bred into the shapes and colors you see today.
And even now, looking at the Prussian carp, I can see that it's goldfish shaped. Mm-hmm. The goldfish in this scene that we're looking at has a bit of an exaggerated shape,
mm-hmm.
but it still has that kind of wedgy shape.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, that they're the same as koi, but koi are very long and smooth.
Indeed, yeah.
Whereas you can see in these carp that they're kind of big and flat.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sunfish flat, but they're there.
Man, I hope there's a movie with a sunfish that I can talk about.
I hate them. I hate them so much. God, I hate sunfish. I hate... I'm not even going to be articulate about it. I just hate them. Like, conceptually, it pisses me off that they exist. Like, we're meant to have evolution. Like, things that useless aren't meant to be. Can we go back to looking at the Prussian car?
Yes, yes, we can.
It makes me less angry. Like, there's one we see here, and there's a guy holding it up, so to scale, it's the size of the tank this other fish is being kept in.
Yeah, bigger, I'd say.
Yeah.
I think if you stuck that fish in the bowl in this movie, its tail would still be sticking at the other end.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So can domesticated goldfish still get that big? You said the fancy ones might not.
But... yeah, so kind of single tail variety goldfish, so the ones that you generally see, so they can get up to about 30 centimeters, so a foot if you're using imperial measurements, which
like
we don't recommend.
American or coward.
Yeah. So yeah, about a foot. So obviously that's going to outgrow the most home aquariums. So they kind of, it's kind of, people still discuss what the ideal size for a goldfish tank should be.
Yeah.
They kind of say 90 centimeters minimum for long term
living.
Yeah. And these fish can live into their 40s. So they are kind of a long-term commitment.
Man. If,
yeah.
In human history, we've really fucked over the goldfish. Are we allowed to swear on this?
I mean, we've already been swearing, so I think we should follow Mark Watney's, you know, example and swear while discussing science. Sadly, there are no fish to discuss in that movie.
I'm just so fucking passionate about fish. They might eat fish at some point. I forget what I was going to say. We've just fucked them over.
Mm-hmm.
We've really badly fucked over these poor fish. And again, I'm not the person who did research for this, but I vaguely know you were saying that they were domesticated in China and they were kept in ponds. I believe occasionally you would bring your prettiest little fish into the house in like a jar or something. Mm-hmm. And that might be like a centerpiece for a fancy dinner. And to my knowledge, that's where Westerners got the wrong idea that you can actually keep them long term in very fancy jars, which you can't.
Yeah.
Because they need a bigger area.
And it's also interesting that keeping fish in glass receptacles didn't really take off until the Victorian era.
Yeah.
So, you know, during the Victorian age, people really liked nature.
Yeah.
But they liked owning nature and owning bits of it. So yeah, that's when the kind of glass aquarium that we're familiar with today kind of arose, because you could put stuff in it and show it off to your guests.
That could also be the technology issue. I mean, China was good at porcelain, but I believe not glass, and no one was particularly good at glass for quite a long time. Would be super cool to see a goldfish swimming inside like a very thin China receptacle, but I believe China's porous.
Yeah. Well, I'm not 100% sure myself. I did see an example of a porcelain goldfish vase, but again, it's opaque, so you can't see the fish until you look in on top of it. But it was painted really nicely. It had all these nice patterns on it.
That's cool.
But obviously very different to what we're used to today.
So when the Prussian carp was domesticated, the examples you're showing me here, they're all kind of grey and silvery. One of them is kind of a nice pattern with the blackness of scales against like the silvery bits of them. But there's no gold here, I'm noticing.
Yeah.
So was that something that only emerged after domestication? Are these Prussian carp ever gold?
From what I understand, it was that, you know, the genes obviously for fish colours that we see today are still in carp. And it was kind of like, you know, there were no chihuahuas before we started breeding wolves.
Yeah.
Highly, like, selectively. So yeah, there was a thing also that if you were fishing for carp, and if you saw one that was kind of an unusual colour, or an unusual shape or form, that it's part of the kind of Buddhist tradition, I believe, that you release one back, or you kind of take it home and release it into a pond and be like,
I have had mercy on this day.
Indeed, yeah. So then obviously you'd pick the prettiest ones.
Yeah.
And if people would then start, because they were originally kept and domesticated for food.
Yeah.
And, you know, lots of people still do eat carp today. But yeah, it was kind of like with any animal, that you'd notice one that was slightly different, and then you would breed it with another one that looked slightly different, and over time you would start to get fish with longer fins, or fish that were a brighter color, or ones that had different patterns. So it's literally just a case that over time humans were just picking and choosing the traits that they wanted to see exemplified.
Cool. And we end up with raspberry ripple chocolate chip bastards.
Indeed,
out of that,
as the scientists would say.
Yeah. But I'm also aware that being gold isn't a very adaptive... Sorry. Being gold isn't an adaptive measure if you're trying to survive in a river in China,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to being selectively saved by some Buddhist people who mm-hmm. care about you being pretty. Do they stay gold?
No, so you'd find that if a kind of a captive goldfish is released back into the wild, within a few generations, those wild type dark colours will start to come back into the population.
Is some of that because of the selection pressure?
I'd say so, yeah. And definitely, you know, genetics, and obviously, you know, it's if you're a carp, if you're a dark colored carp, it's far easier to hide from predators than if you're bright gold.
Yeah.
So the bright goldfish will be picked out first.
I'm just wondering about breeding, because the goldfish we have, I think, were bred in Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would like to know more about that. But specifically, like, if you're breeding goldfish commercially, do you have a bunch of duds who are just brown that you then don't breed further from?
I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but I imagine so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you think, you know, you could have hundreds of fry or mm-hmm. baby fish.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to breed from all of those.
Yeah.
From what I understand, yeah, you're going to keep selecting the best ones. And especially when you get into the highly competitive kind of ornamental fish strains, like some people will pay thousands for a pretty koi.
For a real weird looking fish.
Yeah. Which obviously doesn't have... It's kind of like with dogs. You know, the more you breed, often the worse the health gets.
You're meant to put a few mongrels in every generation.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So like a lot of fancy goldfish, I call them the pugs of the fish world, because mm-hmm. I just hate them conceptually. Like, just why do you want a fish that looks like it has balloons under its eyes? I just don't...
So it can look up at you with adoration.
Yeah,
because
but...
you're an emperor and you don't have enough people doing that.
Apparently. Our fish look perfectly normal and they look at us with adoration. We hope, maybe, possibly not, but
you know
it's nice to dream.
You know what's definitely true is I look at them with adoration.
Same.
They're very good boys. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we'd see with fancy goldfish that a lot of them do have health problems,
mm-hmm.
literally, because, you know, if you see a lot of them are very, they're bred to be fat, they have humped backs,
mm-hmm.
A lot of their organs just don't really work as they should. They're particularly prone to problems with the swim bladder, which is a gas-filled organ in their body that helps them maintain buoyancy. A lot of them just can't regulate that properly, so they end up just either sitting or like floating
mm-hmm.
at the surface and can't really move elsewhere. So yeah, they have issues. Also, you know, a lot of them with the inflated air sacs, like if that gets punctured, it can get infected. So yeah, they have issues.
Mm. I imagine those ones don't live for 40 years.
No,
then.
No. And it's funny because you see people go like, oh, but my fish was fine because it lived for 10 years. And you're like, that's a quarter of its possible lifespan.
I mean, that's kind of shout out to the adaptability of fish that mm-hmm. it did manage to live a quarter of its lifespan in a tiny box of its own filth.
Yeah, like they reckon goldfish are probably the most abused domestic animal.
Yeah.
And especially because I think, you know, we do have a bias towards fluffy vertebrates.
People don't even know that it's abuse at mm-hmm. a certain level. Like, probably they'd care less
mm-hmm.
if you explained it to them than if you explained to them that, oh, hey, your rabbit doesn't have enough headroom and you mm-hmm. need a better cage for it. Because, yeah, like, people are pescatarian.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are like, oh, I can't eat anything that's, like, got a soul. And I feel like fish don't have a soul.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where did you get your theology?
Yeah.
What is your philosophy coming out of?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
And I think, yeah, and I think it's the lack... I think most people don't want to treat their fish badly. And I think even I remember talking to people and they were like, oh, we set up this new tank and then we got, you know, fish and they died. But I just assumed it was... there's a problem with the fish mm-hmm. and went back and just got more fish, but they keep dying. So I guess I'm just bad at goldfish
mm-hmm.
keeping, or just fish keeping in general. And then when you start talking to them, they're like, oh yeah. I'd be like, did you dechlorinate tap water? And they're like, no. And I'm like, you put that fish in water that's full of chlorine and other, you know, fluoride and stuff. And it's just this very basic kind of lack of knowledge that I feel maybe some shop owners don't tell people, or people just don't do the necessary research before they get one.
So let's say people are listening to us now
mm-hmm.
and they don't know what's good for goldfish. What are the kind of biggest things you think people fuck up with?
I think, well, first, before you get any animal, you should do a lot of research.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to people who own them or, you know, do some Googling.
Talking to people who own them could be very bad for goldfish, though.
That is true, yeah. Talk to people who know what they're doing. You know, if go to a good shop that knows what they're doing and ask for their advice. I would say for any fish, it's like you try to get the biggest tank you can afford and that you have space for. And then you find fish that fit that size of tank rather than forcing the tank to suit the fish. Also, bigger tanks, if you look at water chemistry, bigger tanks are more stable.
Okay.
So they're less likely to have parameters such as oxygen content fluctuate wildly or things like ammonia.
That makes a lot of sense, because if you think on the scale from like a raindrop to the ocean, one of those is a lot more stable than the other.
Yeah. So I think with goldfish, it's kind of, you give them the biggest tank you can. I know with our ones, they will eventually outgrow it, but they're going to go to a friend's pond.
Yeah.
So we've, you know, I think with any animal, you have to have a long-term plan of what you're going to do with it. So we have that plan in place. Ours has a filter.
Yeah.
So it keeps their water nice and clean. We have kind of smooth decor and rocks that they can't swallow. Just, you know, decor that's safe for them. They have a place that they can hide if they need to. We also have an extra pump because cold water fish do often require higher oxygen content. So it just literally puts bubbles into the water. Ours was cycled beforehand. So that's the fancy term for that. When you set up a new tank, you have to have a nice colony of bacteria in there to break down waste.
They're kind of symbiotic, are they then? Okay.
So it's kind of like, for us, we have to have healthy gut fauna and flora.
Yeah.
So it's just making sure that that healthy community is set up and ready to go before any new fish goes in. And obviously, you know, make sure that their water has been dechlorinated and stuff like that.
I know this is probably, okay, this is a bit sci-fi as questions go, and it's probably something you don't have an answer to, but would a similar thing be true if you worked in reverse for like land dwelling animals? Let's say there was some aquatic species that had sentience and decided they'd like to keep a dog as a pet, and they just wanted to build an air dome underwater with it. Like, would it fuck up a dog if it didn't have any of the stuff that we have in the world that we don't even question?
Yeah, I guess it would.
Yeah,
like if you put it into a completely sterile environment, that's going to be kind of
stressful.
Yeah. And I know from, because there is a, I'm not sure, I think it might have been discontinued, but there was an underwater lab that was set up to see how, it was like 20, 30 meters underwater or something. So not particularly deep.
Yeah.
But even then they had issues with dampness. Things just wouldn't dry properly. The atmosphere just seemed a bit weird in terms of the proportion of gases and stuff that was in it. So I presume you'd have similar issues with a fish trying to keep a dog in a bowl.
I ask the real questions.
You do.
I just, because I know part of it's probably, like, we have our internal gut flora. Water is really great for all those chemical reactions that are needed to keep something alive. Air isn't as important for those things because the molecules are just way more scattered. But it makes sense. If you're going to be wet your entire life, you want to make sure that wetness is, like, proper, balanced.
Do you think the fish even know that they're wet?
I don't think so. I don't think they know anything.
Well, good for them.
I love our beautiful babies, but there is not intelligence.
Even though you say that, there's been several studies that imply that goldfish are probably smarter than we do give them credit for. They can actually hear quite well. They have a very good sense of hearing.
Oh no, they heard me say that.
I mean, they probably didn't understand it. But then, like, a lot of, like, you know, we tune out sounds that just aren't important. But, like, you know, they do have ear bones and stuff that they use to detect sounds. In some studies, they found that they can detect the difference between different composers, so like Bach and Stravinsky. So they can be trained to recognize the differences in, like, tone and stuff. So, like, goldfish are cultured, I guess.
Yeah, but ours fail to eat the food flakes that we put into their tank specifically for them to eat.
They did learn how to do it eventually.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
They've got, like, 60% effectiveness.
Yeah. And speaking of food, did you know that goldfish don't have, like, teeth in the front of their mouth? They have teeth in their throat.
What do they eat? What did the Prussian carp eat?
I mean, presume it's like other carp, so they tend to be bottom feeders. They grub through the bottom, mm-hmm. so aquatic plants, little invertebrates, stuff like that. That's actually a problem where they're invasive, mm-hmm. because it kicks up all the sediment that then fucks up the rest of the ecosystem, as well as them just breeding out of control yeah. and outcompeting other animals.
Do you want to talk to me more about what they eat, or can I ask one of the big questions on my mind?
You can ask them the big questions on your mind, but look at this. These are goldfish teeth, so they're in the throat of the fish rather than at the front, so they just pass food down and like chew back there.
It looks almost like human teeth.
Yeah.
But in that they have like a root and then the top of it that looks enameled.
Mm.
But also the jaw is like almost heart-shaped.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
How do goldfish breed? Because I refer to our boys as boys, but we do not actually know that they're boys.
No.
I kept goldfish as a kid, obviously not in ideal conditions, I now know, and I'm very sorry to Goldie and Wagtails. They deserve better. But there was never a danger of them breeding.
Mm-hmm. So, like, a lot of fish won't breed unless they feel happy and comfortable. That's the same with most animals.
Yeah. Humans too.
Humans too. You have to set the mood. You have to be comfy. You know? I mean, there are some fish that will just breed regardless, but I think that's a topic for another time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, from my brief research, is that goldfish actually require a temperature change to start breeding. So in the wild, they would start breeding in spring. So obviously there's a spike in temperature from winter to spring.
So if you wanted to breed your goldfish, you'd want to like put a few ice cubes in?
Well, no, you could just put a heater in the tank and slowly bring the temperature up.
Okay, because you wouldn't recommend pouring boiling water in there then?
No. And sadly, that's a thing I've actually heard happen to goldfish.
By someone trying to breed them?
No, by a little kid who thought that the goldfish was too cold.
Did they just hear that they were cold-blooded and not know what that meant?
I don't know.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's bad. Don't do that, kids.
Don't. Okay.
And kids, you probably shouldn't be listening to this podcast regardless, but...
We've said fuck so many times.
And we'll say it again.
Yeah. Tell me about the goldfish fuck.
Yeah. So, it is quite difficult to sex them. Like, when they come into breeding condition, the males will develop, like, pimples.
Mm-hmm.
Much like human males, I guess, on their gill covers,
yeah.
So kind of white dots, and on the edge of their fins, with the female as well, the vent, which is, you know, where all the sexy times happen.
Yeah.
The females will be a little bit more prominent than the males, but obviously you can only see that in fish that are mature and ready to breed.
What are the pimples about? Do we know? Are they just secondary sex characteristics?
I would have to double check, but I'm pretty sure it's just to kind of, you know, show that they're mature
okay.
and ready to breed.
Okay.
I presume the females find them really sexy.
Okay, cool. Do you see that guy? His gills are so bumpy.
Yeah.
Rip for your pleasure. Can goldfish be gay?
I don't know.
They're not really social. Well, they're not unsocial.
Well, I mean, in the wild... They, like, and again, they should not be in the wild. Mm-hmm. I cannot emphasize this enough. Do not release your goldfish into the wild. But in cases where people have done that, they have been seen kind of grouping into schools and shoals. Mm-hmm. But I mean, people have kept them by themselves.
Okay.
I'm actually fairly new to goldfish keeping, so there's a whole other world there that I feel I'm only scratching the surface of.
Mm, much like how the goldfish neck pimples scratch the surface of the other fish, possibly.
Maybe.
Do they do the sperm packet thing, or do they do a...
No, they do the thing where the female would release the eggs, and then the male fertilizes them, so he just releases sperm into the water over the eggs.
Does she make a little nest?
I think she... Not really, no. Okay. I think as fish parents go, they're not super...
They're not, like, hands-on.
Nah. I mean, you have to remove them soon afterwards, because most fish will just turn around and go, oh, a snack.
yum.
Yeah.
All the more reason to have an adequately sized tank for them.
And as well, because they get so big and you need a lot of space to breed them, I probably wouldn't recommend trying to breed goldfish unless, you know, you have that space.
Would a goldfish be able to breed with a Prussian carp?
Yeah. So there have been recorded cases of goldfish like interbreeding with other carp species.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make me talk about what a species is. Like, no. We don't know.
But yeah, we won't go into it.
No.
But Prussian carp and goldfish produce fertile young?
I have no idea.
Okay, but they produce viable young.
Yeah, indeed. Okay. Which is another reason why they're considered invasive. Them, yeah.
Because these guys presumably have less adaptive genes in them.
Mm. And also they just outcompete native trout and stuff, which we don't like to see.
And why is that?
They're just...
They seem like they wouldn't be built for survival. They're orange. They have weird lumps and bumps. They don't seem like they do that well in a river.
Well, you know, they eat a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, goldfish like food. So, you know, especially if they breed very quickly, so they can rapidly kind of... The population of invasive goldfish can spike.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they screw up water clarity by rooting for grubs. They mm-hmm. uproot plants. Mm-hmm. They just kind of make life difficult for everything else around them.
I love that. That's the yeah. energy I'd like to bring to interactions.
Yeah, yeah. Be invasive. And
yeah.
You be invasive so your pets don't have to be.
Oh, what a beautiful motto. I'm going to cross-stitch that.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Don't release your goldfish in the wild.
Species are very, very serious.
Mm-hmm.
So please don't do that. If you do have to get rid of a fish, either find a better home for it or euthanize it. Don't dump it into a waterway.
That sounds smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you're breeding your goldfish, when you're not breeding your goldfish, when a hypothetical person who knows what the fuck they're doing is breeding their goldfish, they want to take the parents away pretty quick. Are the little baby ones, like I'm picturing translucent little guys?
Yeah, I mean, we can double check. Generally, a lot of fish fry, you know, you don't need to feed them or do much with them initially because they still have the nutrients for their yolk.
Mm-hmm.
And then... You know, once that stage is passed, you can start feeding them on little live food. So like Daphnia yeah. and water fleas. Well, Daphnia are water fleas. Yeah. But you know, tiny little invertebrates. And then they start growing into adults.
How do fish... Do fish molt?
No.
Do they just get bigger?
Yeah.
Because there's a guy here that looks like he's in a teaspoon or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he honestly just looks like a little goldfish.
Yeah.
Like a small goldfish, but there's another one right next to him where you can see a nervous system
mm-hmm.
through whatever skin type thing is there. So that's clearly not like a goldfish.
I mean, it's like if you look at fish fry, they mm-hmm. look very planktonic.
Yeah.
So they just kind of, a lot of them just kind of drift, especially in the ocean. A mm-hmm. lot of baby fish just kind of drift there until they start growing and looking more like actual fish.
Yeah.
What is, when you say see-through though, in 2010, a scientist did create a see-through goldfish, I presume by use of genetics and selective breeding.
Yeah.
So they think that, like, you can completely see through it. So they think that might be a cool research animal or a study animal for people learning anatomy, because you can see this thing moving around.
Can you show me a picture of that?
I will try. I mean, we do have glass catfish and stuff that is...
Oh, he looks yeah. so fucked up.
Yeah. So it means you don't have to dissect, I guess.
Yeah. It's like next level albino.
Still very dark eyes, though.
Yes. Sultry.
Yeah. Kind of,
Cuts out need for dissection.
Yeah, so it has defects in the gene that regulates pigment.
Okay.
So it means you can see.
So he is next level albino.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Cool. And it looks like a fancy goldfish.
Yeah, it does. It does. One that you can see its organs.
I feel like we've gotten through, much like the depth of the organs in this fish, we've gone down a rabbit hole here.
We have. So let's bring it back to something.
Okay. You did a lot of research for this. Mm. What have we not touched on yet?
Well, I think there's just some... It's interesting to see the kind of cool facts mm-hmm. about goldfish that we might not necessarily
yeah.
know. I think it's also interesting that goldfish are kind of generally mistreated in the way that they're housed. That is starting to change. People mm-hmm. are starting to phase out goldfish bowls and only providing
yeah.
tanks that may still be too small long term, but at least they have a filter.
Yeah.
So that's a step up. In 2012 though, a girl in the UK, I'm not sure of her age, but she's quite young, kind of got, she started researching more into this and got quite upset at the state of goldfish, and also that traditionally at fairs and stuff they were given away as prizes.
Yeah.
So just kept in plastic bags for hours. And often given to people who don't have the correct setup
mm-hmm.
ready for them. So in 2012, she set up a petition, and then is now an offence in England and Wales to give a goldfish as a prize to a minor.
That is good. Because, I mean, I wish that law was a little bit further reaching, but that's pretty good. And it will discourage a lot of people from giving it away at fairs because they don't want to have to ID people for winning the, like, get a loop over this hook thing. Cool, that's good. Goldfish rights.
Yeah, goldfish rights. And another interesting fact is that, like human babies, baby goldfish can't really see the color blue when they're little.
How do they know?
I don't know. I looked at the study. I kind of skimmed over. I couldn't read the full thing because I don't think it was open access, which is a whole other topic.
Not open access, like the see-through goldfish.
Exactly. But it seems that they have a delayed development of the mechanism that detects blue pigment.
That's cool.
Yeah. Little babies.
Can I blame, like, Western civilization for being mean to goldfish, or is it humans overall I need to blame?
I don't know.
I mean, it does just seem like the Chinese culture had a place for them. They're the ones who selectively bred and domesticated them. It's as if, like, some part of the world didn't have sheep, and suddenly they're like, oh, sheep seem cool. You guys keep sheep in these little pens, right? And we're like, no, those are only there when we're like doing medical exams or something. But they're like, no, I'm going to keep a sheep in this.
Yeah.
And you're like, why are you doing that?
And
they're like, I'm such a good sheep owner. This sheep lived 2 whole years. And you're like, and it was miserable every moment.
Yeah.
I wish people had more, I don't know about empathy, but just like
compassion.
You don't have to feel profound feelings about a goldfish to try not treat it like shit.
Yeah. And I feel that given the prevalence of goldfish in our culture and in homes, we will be coming back to them many times over the whatever the duration of this podcast will be.
Yeah. So let's go back on the movie scene.
Okay.
Go rip it to shreds. What the fuck is wrong? Tell me everything that's wrong about this goldfish's setup.
Right. So, one, it's in a bowl.
Surface area.
Yeah, and no filter. No external air source. This bowl is fucking tiny. I mean, it's not really, it's kind of a personal criticism, but the gravel is purple and pink. Same with some of the plants that they've used. Now, because this goldfish belongs to a tiny, like a child in this, that's obviously the reason for it. And it doesn't do them any harm. Some people say that non kind of natural tones does stress the fish out a little bit because obviously you don't get purple gravel in life.
Yeah.
That's just a personal thing to me. I don't really like it, but it's not a massive strike.
The tank looks sterile. Like,
From
our fish, I'm super into plants. I'm the plant person, Danny's the fish person. And it really pisses me off that people would put plastic plants in somewhere. Like, if you can't put a real plant, just don't put a plant in. These guys, like, we all need an ecosystem around us, like you're saying about gut bacteria. In our fish's tank, it has this little bits of green on the pebbles and stuff. I don't know how healthy it is for the fish.
I mean, they're grazing on it. They seem happy enough.
Yeah, it's something interesting that's there, whereas this fish is just in a bowl with a bunch of plastics.
And I will say that, like, if you can't keep live plants, because live plants do require proper lighting and some setups do require you to inject carbon dioxide into the water for them, a fake plant is better than no plant at all, because at least it is something that the fish can interact with and some form of shelter that they can use, especially because goldfish can dig and eat real plants. Sometimes a fake one is better than nothing at all. But I'd be a fan of more natural systems.
That was my personal aesthetic criticism coming from a position of not knowing anything about fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think as well, this goldfish we reckon is like a fantail or something. So it's a fancy goldfish. It's a very, very tiny one. But it's going to get bigger. And this bowl is not good for it at any stage.
We didn't really talk about this with the breeding. Fish, I don't think, are like mammals in that they don't have like a specified growth period. They're, to my knowledge, more like some amphibians, which will like grow to a certain size and then maybe stop because it's been a dry season, and then get bigger again when there's more nutrients. Am I right in that?
It's kind of like some fish will keep growing throughout their lives.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a thing that kind of like, oh, if you keep a goldfish in a small bowl, it will grow to the limit of the bowl and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily true. There have been cases of not even goldfish, but other fish like getting to the point where they've gotten so big that they can't turn around in their tanks. Mm-hmm. So some small tank, like you will see, say, I have clownfish at home as well,
mm-hmm.
and they're kept, like, they're in 125 litres, so that's perfect
mm-hmm.
for them. But if I move them into another tank that's even bigger, like, given the excess space, they might go through a bit of a growth spurt.
Mm-hmm.
But there has been some, I've read some kind of articles that said that even if you do keep a small goldfish in a small tank, it will stunt its growth. So it's mm-hmm. not going to be in the best of health. Its organs aren't going to be as healthy as it should be. So it will kind of shorten their life
mm-hmm.
in general. And also just from a enrichment point of view, it's just not a good time.
No.
But like some, like particularly if you think of the big fish that sports fishermen would go after,
mm-hmm.
like a lot of them, like a big sturgeon, say, that's really, really big, could be 100 years old. Like, you mm-hmm. know, it will keep growing for as long as it will can. Be left alone.
Yeah.
Kind of like with some saltwater crocodiles and things like that. And the reason we don't see them that big anymore is because we just haven't allowed them. Because
we keep killing them.
Yeah.
Huh?
And yeah. we keep selectively taking out the biggest ones because we think they look cool on walls and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which people don't do to goldfish specifically.
No, there was one of the biggest goldfish that was found recently. It was, let me check my figures. One was caught that was about 47.4 centimeters long.
That's half a meter then.
Yeah, so pretty. And there's another photo that went around of like a big chunky goldfish. So
yeah.
I think that one was going to be mounted on that dude's wall because obviously I think in most places in the States it's an invasive species.
Mm-hmm.
So if you catch one in the wild, it cannot be released in the wild. It has to be killed on site.
I've never had carp. Does it taste good?
I think it's kind of bony.
Okay.
I know it's big in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never had it myself.
Because I guess Prussian... So Prussia would be Germany and Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
So I guess it was just named there but also exists in China. But anyway, so a goldfish that is half a meter long is about the same size as a fully grown Prussian carp.
I guess
so.
Yeah. Or big koi.
Like. True. They can't interbreed with koi.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No. Different species.
Yeah. Do they eat each other?
I mean,
they're small.
Most fish, if you put them in with a fish that's smaller than them,
will eat it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it fits. I eat.
Pretty much. So like white cloud mantis minnows are another species of cold water fish that you can keep at home.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, if you have space for only a cold tank, go for them instead. They're
yeah.
only about 2 to 3 centimeters long.
Mm-hmm.
They're quite pretty. You can have a little shoal of them. But if I like threw them into our tank with our 2 goldfish, they would probably get eaten
yeah.
immediately.
I mean, like I said, our goldfish are dumb, but I have 2 Marimo. I'm not actually 100% sure of their actual... what they're made of, but they're naturally found in lakes in Iceland and Japan, probably other places as well, but this is where I'm aware of them, where they're shaped by currents
mm-hmm.
into round shapes. So they're plants that don't need very much light, don't need very much anything, because they're used to existing at the bottom of a lake where it's very cold and dark. If you want to keep them with goldfish, I'm aware our guys eat them,
mm-hmm.
but they don't eat them fast enough that it's doing them any damage.
Mm-hmm.
How long have we had our fish now?
2-3 months.
3 months?
Yeah,
yeah. And it's not left at all.
No.
A dent in the moss balls.
Miggledy Mossball.
Miggledy Mossball, who is a he-him lesbian.
Very woke.
Very woke of us. And both of us as well to keep fish in an adequate tank. Although
yeah.
it was surprising for me to find out that even our tank is kind of too small for goldfish long term.
Yeah. And our tank is, for reference, is 60 by 30 centimetres.
Yeah.
So it's pretty decently, like 54 litres.
Yeah, like that's big.
And those goldfish are babies, so they're fine for now. But they will have to be moved on, which will be a sad day, but...
You can't just call them babies and expect me to have a normal emotional reaction.
They might not even be able to see blue yet.
Don't say that. They're so small. I've called them stupid so much, but actually they just haven't learned yet.
Yeah. They're smart. And the 3-second memory thing is bullshit, so...
Yeah, that's a big... Okay, troubleshoot. Anything else about keeping goldfish you think is important for people to know?
I mean, doing your research, I think, is the biggest thing.
Yeah. Actually read stuff.
Do a Google.
Yeah. Do a Google on it.
Yeah.
Quite good for any pet ownership. Are there people who treat their goldfish well?
Of course there are. Like, there are people who... There's kind of... It's like with any pet. Like, goldfish suffer a lot,
mm-hmm.
both through negligence and through... There was a craze in World War II around that time that people would just, like, swallow live goldfish on a dare. It used to be a thing in frat parties, I guess.
Poor thing.
And there, I don't think that happens as much now. But, you know, people still do buy them to use as feeder fish to feed to... as live food for mm-hmm. their other larger predatory fish, which obviously isn't great. It's not great for the predatory fish either.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like fast food all the time, yeah. I think. But yeah, no, people do take very good care of their goldfish
mm-hmm.
And kind of big cold water fish in general, because if they can live into their 40s, that's a long time to keep any animal. People name them, people get attached. I was once watching this program about like a vet, and this old guy and his wife had this massive koi that just came with their house, and they'd lived there for like 30 years and he was still there, and then they thought he looked sick, so they like paid for the vet mm-hmm. to come in and treat him, and he recovered and it was really good. So people do really care, and like there's been plenty of stories of kind of people abandoning koi and big goldfish in boxes,
yeah,
like in plastic bags filled with water,
yeah,
and then like put them in a box and leave them on people's doorsteps.
Like a baby.
Yeah. And people have just like taken them in and be like, yeah, of course we're gonna, like, it's an animal like any other. So it deserves our respect.
It does. I was kind of surprised to hear that vets would be able to deal with a fish.
Yeah. There are some dedicated fish vets, or, you know, at least exotic animal vets who are able to care for fish or provide care. But fish health is difficult.
It's a strange and alien thing for us. Air walkers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've really enjoyed this chat.
Thank you.
Do you think there's more to be said about...
I feel that, like, there is always more to be said about fish. But about goldfish in particular. But we should probably leave that for a future time with goldfish. And I guess back to the actual movie.
Yeah, so this scene, more to be said about it is, I guess, don't give your goldfish to a child.
And especially not a child in an adult's body.
Yeah, it's a complicated movie. But really, there's a lot to be said about the movie Shazam, which, if you're not aware, I'm not going to spoil it, but it does focus on some children who are in a foster home, which is shown to be like a very nurturing
mm-hmm.
and good environment for them, with good parents who are very kind and loving, but turns out not so nurturing for the pets.
Yeah. I mean, they do have like 7 kids.
If you can't look after a pet, don't have a pet.
Yeah, that is true.
Hey, get some houseplants.
They do have houseplants, I think.
Okay, new spin-off podcast where I talk about the houseplants in the background.
That would be very good. But anyway, like, I think as a movie, Shazam is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about found family and kind of... It's a superhero movie, but it's very wholesome. It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing to see teens... actually be played by teens and act like teens.
Well, I've never seen
that. Is true.
That.
I did watch it with you, but like...
I blacked out.
Yeah. So yeah, very good movie about, you know, a 14-year-old. It's kind of like Big in a way, which is another movie you've probably never seen.
I've not.
Which I actually, no, I haven't seen it either. So. But again, this kid gains the power to turn into an adult superhero
mm-hmm.
by saying the word Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Would highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we're going to give each movie a starfish rating, which
mm-hmm.
we are aware is not a fish.
Yeah.
Because they are echinoderms.
But there's no such thing as a fish.
I think that's another... That's another episode entirely.
That's also the name of a different podcast.
Yeah. nice shout out.
Yeah.
So yeah, overall, this is a very good movie. Would recommend. But I think I would have to give it... out of 5 starfishes, I think it barely gets 1.
Maybe
for its treatment and portrayal of fish on screen. But I think maybe it gets 1 for keeping this to the very end of the movie, so I didn't have to suffer through it.
For hiding the abuse.
Actually, yeah, maybe we should take away that 1 star.
Maybe it gets half a star because... Maybe it gets half a starfish because it's very sad how this fish is treated, but... you don't have to look at it, so that starfish will eventually regrow into a full starfish.
I mean, it is in a very brief scene, like, early on in the movie, and I know this because I've watched this movie several times, and then I think the second or third watch, I was like, there's that poor, poor fish.
That deserves so much better, yeah. As so many fish do.
I feel, though, this house in this movie is so full of love that they just need to extend that to their fish friend.
If they knew, they would never allow this to happen.
No.
They would absolutely be getting, like, a nice big tank, or, like, they'd make something work.
Yeah.
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 So that's been us.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Movie Aficionados.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new experimental project, so I guess wherever you found this, keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
Another one might appear.
Yeah.
Cool.
We might give a hint on some platform that this is on about what our next movie will be.
Yeah, and if you can guess, I'll be very impressed, because I can't, because I've never seen any movies ever. I actually exist only as a voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm recording this by myself.
I'm just a ghost that's manifested anytime people in South Dublin start podcasting.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot to say.
Also, because this is during the great coronavirus shutdown of 2020, and this is partly why we're doing it, because we're keeping ourselves entertained.
Yeah.
And hopefully educating other people who are also trapped in a house. Stay safe out there. Wash your hands.
Stay safe.
Yeah.
You're not going to try to re-say that?
No, no. You said it. So.
Okay. Stay safe out there. Wash your hands and don't wash your fish.
Yeah, do not. Just keep their water clean. Do some regular maintenance, but don't actually wash them. They don't like that.
Cool. Bye.
Bye.